VentureCast.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. I came across my next guest on Instagram at a time that I really needed her to show up. And the series of events that followed from that moment were all thanks to the divine guidance of the universe. When I reached out to her to let her know how her message had reached me as intended, she agreed to be a guest, which thrilled me. When she sent me her mini documentary on YouTube, I cried from beginning to end and knew again that we were both exactly where we were meant to be. Netta Boyne is a heart-touching singer and songwriter, voice liberator, A Course in Miracles teacher, and one amazing human being. Based in the Netherlands, she has been a contestant on The Voice in Holland, making it to the final 8, and has since written an album channeled through spirit based on A Course in Miracles called The Light Has Come. She shares the universal language and power of music through giving songwriting workshops in juvenile prisons in Holland and the USA. Through teaching A Course in Miracles to inmates, she has seen those prisoners find their freedom while still being imprisoned. This is a truly special episode, which I hope you enjoy. Make sure you stick around to the very end where Netta performs her title track, The Light Has Come. And I am moved to tears. Welcome, Netta, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to be with you today. Now, you're coming to us from the Netherlands. And just for people who've not heard of you, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Who am I? That's a very big question, right?
Yes.
Well, I appear to be Netta, and in this life, I see that I really use music to really know who I am, and to help other people as well remember who they are. So you could say I'm a singer and A Course in Miracles teacher, and I also teach in prison, in juvenile prison.
Wow.
And I'm a voice liberator, so I really use the voice in retreats and workshops as sort of a portal to get into our unconscious mind. And the voice is very powerful to bring up unconscious emotions, old traumas, and transform them. So yeah, in a nutshell, I just use music to extend the love that we are and get people back in touch with the love that we all are.
Yeah, and can I just say, you absolutely have the voice of an angel. You also were on The Voice in Holland, right?
Yes, it's true. 5 years ago. Yeah.
And how did you find that experience?
It was interesting. I think for me, it was very much a point where I truly realized that I just wanted to use my voice to extend the love of God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. Because I still had a pretty strong concept of wanting to be a famous pop singer and, you know, like make it in the music industry. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that, but I realized in that moment, not long before I was on The Voice, I received a whole stack of songs, about 15 songs, all coming from A Course in Miracles workbook lessons. That just happened over 2 weeks. Every day a song just came pouring through. It was like a big download, and I couldn't really do anything to stop it. But I never sang about God, you know, the whole associations that I had with those words also were not so positive. So I rather always talked about love and the universe and, you know, not say God in particular or the Son of God or Holy Spirit. So when these songs came through, at first I was very resistant towards them and I didn't really want to do anything with them. And then I was on The Voice. And just in my personal life, everything just was on the floor. Like everything that I was certain of had just broken down. Nothing was certain anymore. And then I was live on television singing for millions of people every week.
And
I don't know, something just clicked. I just saw that the purpose of every choice that we were making on that show or that was being made for me, was to get the most votes, you know, was to get people to vote on me, like everything, you know, what am I wearing? What am I singing? Do I have backup dancers or not? Do I, you know, everything I felt that was the purpose. And I connected with something deeper inside of me that I knew, but that's not really for me. I don't feel that that's a worthy purpose anymore. Like I want the purpose of everything that I do to extend the love that I am and to really serve, you know, serve. I can say now serve God. It still feels a bit, you know,
but yeah.
we know what we mean, like serve love, serve. Serve that goal of bringing us back to the awareness of love's presence. So The Voice was really that moment where I truly realized like, oh, I have a whole album lying at home with, you know, all this album came through with exactly that purpose. It didn't have any side agenda or, you know, the only purpose of that album, The Light Has Come, it's out now, is just that, to spread love, to remind people of the love they are, to remind people of the innocence they are. It didn't came in like in one time and I was like all on board.
Yeah.
Because it still took a lot of undoing and a lot of, you know, it felt like a sacrifice. And now I know that it was just the best decision that I ever made to really, really decide for the plan of love and just surrender my own plan, you know, surrender thinking that I know what's best. And now I really, really know that I have no clue what's best for me. I just know that I want to be of service and I know that I can sing. So, you know, then it's like, okay, if you want to use my voice, you got it, you know, if not, that's fine. But, you know, here it is. And I'm willing to use my musical talent, for a higher purpose. And yeah, I think that's what's happening now. I'm very grateful. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice at all anymore. Because now it just feels like the best path that I could be on. And doing that with music is just, music for me is the closest thing to just having a conversation with God, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, yeah. it's so beautiful that you are taking that God-given gift and you are using it to spread love, basically. So I have to tell our listeners about how I found you, because until I saw you on Instagram, I had never heard of you. Okay, so I'm in Australia, as you know, and I think it was just before New Year's Eve here, and you know, Christmas celebrations were over, and everybody had gone home, and I was here on my own, and you know, I was having one of those days where you were kind of like just really feeling alone, and you know, just one of those days. Anyway, so on Instagram, scrolling away, and you pop up, and the post was, "You are not alone." And I was like, okay, all right, what's going on here? And you, even the words on the post were, "For whoever needs to hear this." And I was like, all right, I'm here. And then I was like, who are you, for one? And then I heard you sing and I went, all right, okay. And that was when I messaged you and I just said, look, you need to know what you've done. And then it just kept, there was so many more, and I'm not going to cry in this episode. I'm going to try not to.
Oh, you can cry. Let it out.
The other thing, was, Course in Miracles. So as I said to you, I've got a copy right here in front of me, a very large one, might I say. I've had this for 25 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, I am that old. When I saw that you created an album inspired by A Course in Miracles, I went, this is a no-brainer. This was meant to happen. There's no coincidence here at all. And just now when I went and got it out of the bookshelf, I kind of was trying to come to a summary of what this massive book is all about, right? And so according to the course, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love, and all we have to do to experience miracles instead of problems in our own lives is to be aware of love's presence.
Mm.
And that's what we've just been talking about. And so then you sent me your YouTube video of your little documentary about The Light Has Come. I cried my entire way through that video. And particularly the piece about coming out of the darkness and into the light, because a friend of mine and I were going through sort of stuff at the time, and that was our thing, was coming out of the darkness and into the light. And when you said that, I just went, oh, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you that I have been absolutely entranced by your album. I've had it playing ever since it's been released. So, you know, what a beautiful piece of art that is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I don't feel I can really take credit for it, because it was all Spirit, writing that and doing that. But the one thing that I really do can give credit for myself, and that I really try not to, you know, be humble or is the courage to actually do something with the inspiration.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think all of us were called to be helpful in whatever way. But it can seem, like you said, that journey of stepping into the light can seem so scary, you know, and it's sometimes it looks easier to just hide and, you know, afraid of, you know, what are people going to think of me? And the shame we feel can sometimes paralyze us in not really following our hearts and following our inspiration. But I think, you know, Spirit is like infinitely patient and always just waiting for us to get the courage to start and follow those prompts and follow those guidances that we will receive if we listen.
Yeah, and that, you know, again, is another thing that we've got in common. When you were telling your story in the video about, you know, how the songs came through to you, I have the exact same thing happen to me. In so many different ways that I'm almost like a medium and I get these messages. Yeah. So, you know, it's if, when we tap into that and we listen to that, that's when real miracles happen.
Yes. Oh, beautiful.
Now, with, you know, the voice liberation workshops that you do, can you tell us more about that? Because I bet they are powerful.
Oh, yes, they are. oh, man. Well, I was in Conservatory of Music doing my Bachelor's of Music. I think now I graduated maybe 6 years ago or so. And, yeah, it was the logical thing for me to study, right? I always wanted to be a singer. So, okay, where do I go to college? Well, a music school, of course. But I noticed that the joy that I had from singing, like from when I was smaller, it would just always come out so freely. And I felt I always was very in contact with really singing from my heart and with my feelings. And my mother, who was never able to cry, only cried if I would sing, you know.
Oh,
like
wow.
I could really tap into that. But the moment that I got into the Conservatory of Music, I noticed I started to cramp up more and more because it was so, like there was such a high pressure of needing to perform, and our exams as well was, you know, can you imagine just that you need to perform a song and like the sort of like the judges, your head teachers are sitting there with their notebook and like making notes while you're singing. And, you know, like it's not really the setting where you feel that you can just freely express yourself and really feel safe with, you know, whenever you hit a high note and they start writing, it's like, oh, was that not, you know, was that not good or, so I noticed that joy started to really go away. And I was even thinking, like, I wasn't even questioning my whole career of doing something with music. And then, really just from that prayer of like, help me, help me, help me, here came this beautiful other school called the Voice Liberation Academy in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
A 2 years school or course or... that the first year was just all about really discovering again your own voice, your own inner voice, which is also the meaning of my name, by the way, which is funny.
Neda, oh, really?
Inner voice.
Okay.
In Farsi, in Persian. So the first year was all about really discovering your own voice and just becoming, liberating your own voice. And the second year was all about teaching. And I had no interest in becoming a voice liberation teacher because I just wanted to do it for being more free on stage and singing more freely myself. So I graduated. It was the best thing that I ever did. I kept on doing the conservatory as well. So I did it together and it was just amazing because everything that I learned at the Voice Liberation Academy helped me to, in that stressful, environment in the conservatory, to still be connected with my heart and to just pause. And, you know, I remember the next exam that I had after doing that, I think the first weekend that we had in the Voice Liberation Academy, I kicked off my shoes. I was like on my bare feet and the teachers were watching me like, what's happening here? I was like, let me, you know, take my time. I was like closing my eyes and it was a whole different experience. And they felt it too. So it was really beautiful. And I graduated and didn't really do anything with voice liberation myself as like teaching. But a few years after I graduated, I saw a friend of mine, a great Course in Miracles teacher as well, David Hoffmeister, who was organizing a one-month retreat in the States called the Tabula Rasa Clean Slate Retreat. And the instant that I read about it, I just knew, like, again, there was this prompt of, you need to teach voice liberation over there.
Wow.
And so I texted him. I told him about the inspiration. And he was like, yeah, I feel it too. You know, fly over. And he flew me over. And they were recording a movie. funny that they also didn't have a name yet for that movie. And, you know, if you listen to my album, you know the song Take Me Home.
Yeah.
I just wrote that song, I think, a couple of weeks before I arrived there. And I played it on the first night.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, my God, that's the title for the movie. We need to call it Take Me Home.
Oh.
And so I started to do sessions there, voice liberation sessions. And for the first time, I just experienced even more clearly, like, the guidance that would come in so clearly, what to say, exactly what to say, what to do. So they ended up also filming a few of these sessions, and they became a beautiful part of this movie. And so since then, I was like, huh, this is interesting. You know, I really don't have to do anything. Like, the voice is just guiding me exactly to hit the right points. And I would even, you know, see images, you know, even of when people were younger, I would see, you know, it is very interesting. Like, the things would just come up. And, yeah, so I started to do it more and more in retreats as well. And, now I'm really into it. I'm like, okay, this is such a beautiful combination. Mm. You know, giving concerts, but also offering, you know, a deeper layer of not just listening, sitting and listening, but really giving people an experience. I call it now healing concerts, where, you know, people come and they listen to my music, but at the same time, I'm offering this way of participating, to get a deeper experience. So yeah, there's more retreats coming up next year, 2022 in April. I'm doing a beautiful retreat in Bali for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is just something I now see. It's just amazing. And I don't really know how it works. I think just the voice is a very powerful tool to really uproot any unconscious stuff that we've been suppressing. It's some people say it's like ayahuasca, but it doesn't have the side effect, right? And it's just, you know, it's right there. But the voice, it just, oh man, you can't, it uncovers it so nakedly, right? It doesn't, you cannot lie. You instantly hear, with these voice liberation sessions, if you're speaking the truth or not, or if there's something else, or it's just a really, really great tool to really heal the unconscious blocks that are ready to be seen and healed.
And it's so funny, you know. I talk to so many people around the world, and I'm here in a recording studio at the moment. Quite often I have clients come here and record, and, you know, so many times I hear people say to me, oh, I hate the sound of my own voice. And I stop them in their tracks and I'm just like, no, you own that. That is yours. And so, to a point where I do even work with some people who are presenters, with a little bit of voice coaching and actually help them to speak in a way that they actually enjoy again.
Beautiful.
So, you know, I hear that so often, and also some people are also scared of their own voice, I think. Yeah. There's a fear that if they really let the real selves out, that people will judge them and they'll really scare themselves. Do you see that in the workshops?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I think it's we're so identified with it being our voice, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe that's why it's also so powerful to uncover the ego, like by using the voice. And there's so much shame, like you said, there's so much shame on it. You know, when we're little babies and little toddlers, everyone is singing, right?
Yeah.
All these little children, you're singing, you're dancing just freely. They don't even care if they're in public or not. They're just singing. And then there comes this moment where they where they feel shame, right? Or when they're told that they're not so cute anymore, they, you know, they're annoying and they need to shut up. And, you know, the ego is being developed and developed more and more, and the shame gets greater. And then it just, maybe in the car or on the shower, you're still singing. But it's great that there's so much shame and everything on it, because that will help us bring it up to heal it, you know. I think that's why it's so great. And I don't know, it's something people just have to experience, you know. It's the moment that we use our voice for this purpose. I see it over and over again. Sometimes it's just one note that somebody's singing, or I just played the piano and they're already crying. And it's already it's just happening. I had one guy once, I have to think of now, that he was so angry. And he told me, you know, it was in a retreat as well. And he was like, I'm getting so sick and tired of all these women crying the whole time. And like, he was just really angry. And he was living in a gay community where a lot of his friends died from AIDS. And he was really blaming God. And he had so much anger built up. And so we started to do a session, and the first thing that he was doing, he would just scream at me like, "Wah!" And he kind of looked like, is this okay? Like, can you handle this? And I just screamed right back at him, and I was like pounding the keys. Like, "Wah!" He was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, just like, you're allowed to feel this, right? Like, give it space. This is okay. And he was screaming back. We were like going at it for like 10 minutes, just like, "Wah!" And then he again to me, "Wah!" And and then, you know, when that first layer of like, okay, it's okay to feel this, settled down, it was so beautiful, because he came in touch with the sadness that was underneath of it. And you know, here too, now he started crying. It was like, oh shit, now I'm crying myself. But it was so, so beautiful. And he could really get to the deeper pain underneath of it. And we just started singing. And man, it was truly one of the most beautiful sessions that I ever did, because you could see the layers popping off and off and off of like, I'm so hurt. To, you know, I want to love again. I'm open to love again. I want to play again. And, you know, I want to feel love, and just one layer at a time, until what was left was just this innocent boy, you know, and there was just innocence. So I think the voice, it can just cut through those layers. And they're just being shed, and we can see what is underneath of it, which is for everyone just pure love. You know, you'll never peel off that onion and then find that there's just evil within. You know, I also teach in prison, and that's what I always what I always teach. You know, like, within us, the core of everyone is pure love, is pure innocence. But when there's so much guilt and like clouds around the sun, when the clouds are so thick, we're not going to experience her light, you know. So we need to get to that point where we're willing, or we get sick and tired of the pain of having those clouds, where we'll finally be willing to let go a little bit, one step at a time of those clouds, and one layer at a time, and just gently, gently let that light, you know, come back in more and more, until, you know, there's only light left.
I love the way you explain that. I absolutely love it. With the teaching that you do in prison, what kind of impact is that having?
I think a huge impact also for me. Yeah. I always say that they're my teachers.
Yeah.
But I've had so many beautiful, beautiful moments where, you know, I use music in there as well as a tool, you know, because really what I'm doing is just teaching them that they're innocent, you know. And I think that's a funny thing, you know, in prison, because they've really been convicted, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I'm guilty. And of course, on the level of form, I'm not saying that, you know, if you murder somebody, you should just get a hug and walk away free. But in truth, you know, if they would know that they're pure innocence and their pure love, they would never kill somebody, right? If we're truly in touch with who we are, we would never hurt somebody else.
Mm.
And I always ask them this too, you know, go back to the moment where you did what you did to get here. Were you absolutely happy? How were you feeling in that moment? No, nobody ever told me, like, I was so happy. I was feeling so joyful the moment I stabbed someone, or the moment that I, you know, just robbed this and this and that, you know?
Yeah.
And also forgiveness. I think it's such a beautiful thing to, I mean, always to teach, but especially in this setting, this backdrop of prison. I remember recently I had a boy in my class, and he came in the class already ready with his little notebook. He was like, I want to record a song. Can we record a song? And I was like, okay, nice that you come prepared. And I always like that. But I first wanted to introduce a little bit the themes and topics that we were working on. So the theme of that week, I think it was state of mind, or yeah, I think it was mind state. And so I was showing him, and there was one other boy, I was showing them a few videos about the importance of, you know, what are we filling our minds with, and the power of, you know, positivity, and like these little videos. And he was like, okay, yeah, you know, like, can I record my song right now? So he takes out his notebook and he starts rapping the song. And I was really shocked, because he was really saying some intense things about, it was about the guards and the things that he wanted to do to his family. And he was so angry.
Mm.
And it was really intense. Like, I've heard some intense songs, but this was very specific, very aimed at, you know, specific people. So it's like, oh shit, are you sure? You know, like, what is this about? Like, are you sure you want to record this? And so he apologized a little bit. He was like, I know this is bad, but he just expressed his anger. I'm so angry with this and this, and I can't stand how they treat us in here. And, you know, I just really give him the space to express. Because I've worked in juvenile prison now for 7 years, and I know what he's talking about. I know it's not always easy, and I too myself a lot of times have some forgiveness opportunities with some of the guards. So I know it's not always easy. I gave him some space, but then we really got into a deep conversation where I explained to him, you know, that who we are in the depths of our core is pure love and pure light. And that no one who is in touch with that would ever treat another person badly.
Mm.
But if there are, like I just said, you know, if there are those clouds around the sun, if we can't fully experience that, and he was like, oh, you mean like walls? You know, I could see that he was into it. You mean like if there's walls around that? I was like, yeah, you know, if there's walls around that love, that core being, you know, we can't experience it.
Mm.
And once people are not in touch with that, they're actually asking to be reminded of it. And you know, they're calling for love. And that call for love can seem very nasty, can seem very just brutal or unkind or and just all kinds of ways, but it's still that call for love. And you now have that decision to either use his call for love to also further grow your walls, right, and to make your walls thicker, and to also react from hate and from anger and from that place of where you're disconnected with who you are, or you can see it and realize, wait, this has nothing to do with me. this is, you know, even though it can trigger us and, you know, you see I'm not good enough, you see I'm not respected, you see I'm not worthy of love, look at how they're treating me in here. Or you can see like, okay, this has nothing to do with me. Who I am is still perfect love, no matter how this person is treating me. And I'm going to choose to not respond in a way that is only further going to strengthen the belief in guilt inside my mind. Mm. So, and I told him, you know, that if he would be out and he would still be busy with like plotting his revenge for this person and how he could, you know, punish him later if he would get out, then he would still not be free, right? Mm. He's still in his mind, mm. in his business, and still thinking on how to hurt someone else. I told him, you know, you have the right to be happy. You know, don't let your happiness depend on what this guy is doing to you. And it doesn't mean, you know, that, because he was like, does that mean that I have to do just everything what he says? And if he tells me to get coffee, I should just, you know, be his little doggy and just go grab his coffee. I said, of course, you know, it's not about just being someone's slave or whatever. But it is really about being above the battleground and seeing that however someone else is treating you is not personal. Mm. That it's always coming from this person's own state of mind of where is this person connected with right now? Is he coming from his true source? Like, is he extending the love that he is, or is he asking for love? So we were really into a deep conversation, and I could really see that he was into it. But then at one moment he was like, okay, enough, you know, can I record the song or what, you know? So I was like, oh shit, you know, maybe nothing really went in there. But I was like, okay, if he needs to blow off some steam, let him blow off some steam. And I put on the beat and he stands behind the microphone again. And it was so beautiful. He takes out his little piece of paper and he wants to start. And he just puts it down and he looks at me and he says, I can't do it. Oh. I can't do it anymore. He says, I don't even feel to rep this anymore. He said, you really did something with my mind. I don't feel it. I don't feel it anymore. And, you know, never mind. And he just threw away the lyrics.
That's incredible.
And it was so beautiful, you know, because, yeah, talking about A Course in Miracles, a lot of people, when they think, like, Course in Miracles, like, is are you going to learn how to walk on water or turn water into wine? But this is it. This is the miracle. Mm. The miracle is the shift in perception. The miracle is the shift from fear to love. The miracle is to free ourselves from the illusion of pain, from being trapped in wanting to hurt someone else and wanting to, you know, thinking that you're not good enough, thinking that you're not worthy of love. The miracle is correcting your mind and remembering that who you truly are is still perfect love, is still perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect light. And that's the miracle. So, yeah, there's plenty of opportunities in prison, but I mean everywhere, of course. Mm. But for me, I feel this is on my path for me to demonstrate miracles, because it's teaching me, of course, everything that I need to know. Because funny thing is that the person that he was talking about, I had immense forgiveness opportunities with about an incident that happened maybe half a year before that. And I was having so much anger towards this person as well.
Yeah.
And so much to just heal and let go of, and so much grievances. So now I was given the opportunity to actually, you know, put this person into a different light. And everything I was telling this boy was also from my own mind, you know? Yeah. So again, you know, what we teach is what we learn and strengthen in our own mind. So yeah, prison gives me a lot of good opportunities to learn and undo my own crazy, crazy stuff.
Oh, wow. That is so incredible. You are absolutely amazing. And one thing that you reminded me of, and I've had a lot of conversations on several podcasts about sound healing. I've done sound healing over the last 2 years and, you know, different episodes about, you know, how music is a healer and you know, energy healing and vibration and all that kind of stuff. And that comes with our voice. But the other thing that you reminded me of just in that example from prison is that a hurt human hurts humans.
Yes.
And if we can set aside that hurt, whatever it is, and actually try to heal, that's where the transformation lies. And like you've just explained there, when we let go of reflecting our own hurt on others, we can change that mindset.
Beautiful. Yeah, I totally agree.
Now, I have to ask you, can you define what being ethical means for you in everything that you do?
Yeah, I was thinking on that. I think you know, there are different layers to go into that question, because of course in form, like in my experience of being in a body, being in this world, which I don't think it's good to deny that, as long as you still experience yourself here. You know, a lot of people can also get into the spiritual bypass thing, and I've been there, you know, where it's all love and everything's an illusion, and especially as Course in Miracles students, I think we all have that face where it's like, oh, it's all an illusion. But of course we experience ourselves here, and I think it's important to not deny that, and the Course also calls that an unworthy form of denial. But rather to use everything that we experience to help us wake up and to help bring up the stuff that needs to be seen and needs to be healed. So with that, also like with environmental issues, I remember in the past I would get really angry about, you know, all of that. I could really be like, I want to save the world, and like really have that, you know, judging whenever somebody wouldn't recycle or wouldn't, you know, or animal cruelty or just any and everything would get me so angry. And now I know that's just another forgiveness opportunity. You know, whatever I see that triggers something inside of me is for me. And I'm now looking at, okay, what feels joyful, you know, it feels very good and joyful for me to eat mostly vegan. It feels very joyful to look at sustainable products and to pay a little bit more. I feel very joyful to pay a little bit more to, I just recently bought these shoes that I forget the brand, but that is like really ethical and sustainable. And I got so joyful when I bought them, you know? But at the same time, yeah, if it comes from that, it's perfect. But if it comes from guilt, and if it comes from, you know, I need to do this, and then I come to the second level of being ethical, which I think that the biggest part where we need to, or maybe the only part in the end, is our mind ethical, right? Mm. Are my thoughts ethical? 'Cause the only real pollution there is in our thinking. And so it's very important with everything. Again, what is the purpose of this? If you're doing something, you feel like, oh, that's an ethical choice, but you're doing it from guilt and you're doing it without joy, then, you know, there's something to look at, because again, what we're teaching is what we're learning. So it might all seem very nice and very beautiful, but if underneath that is only guilt, then what are you bringing into the world? Just more guilt. And in the end, guilt is the source of all suffering.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense to do something nice and then do it from guilt. It will just have a reversed result. So yeah, the most important thing I think is to really watch your mind with everything, and still look at like, okay, but where can I be helpful within this world, and where can I actually But then again, you know, I love to eat vegan and like yeah, watch for those type of things. But then I can really enjoy taking long showers, you know, and then I'm just like, okay, but I grant myself, you know, the long shower because, you know, I don't eat meat or, you know, just to be kind also with yourself. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. Yeah, it's the balance. And
there's no wrong answer to that question. And yes, I absolutely love the layers of that. And you know, I myself go through that kind of ethical dilemma. I was like, well, should I be doing this? You know, I'm like ethical change agencies. Should I be, you know? But yeah. I think the root of it for me is it's doing good while doing good.
Yeah.
And that's basically my whole mission behind this. And yeah, so I really love those layers and that also being kind to yourself is a big part of that too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, having like an ethical state of mind, I would say.
Yeah.
And now in your frame of, you know, I would say it like that. Yeah. Let's have an ethical state of mind. And in my frame of more, you would have, let's have a forgiving state of mind, you know, where we just forgive everything. But you could substitute that for ethical. Let's be ethical with how we look at people. Let's be ethical with how we look at ourselves. Let's be ethical with the words we use, with the thoughts we're having, with the way we are treating each other ethically, you know, like with everything. Let's have an ethical state of mind.
I love that, and I'm going to take that. Thank you so much.
<It's yours>.
Because, you know, and I think, you know, this is something that comes out in the course as well, is that your inner world creates your outer world. And,
yes.
You know, so that is part of that ethical state of mind.
Exactly.
And I actually want to ask you this one off the cuff, and I don't know if you're gonna love it or not, but if you had to pick a lesson from the course – as the one that resonates to you the most, what would it be?
Whew.
Keep in mind there are hundreds.
Yeah. I think they're actually all saying the same thing.
Kind of, yeah.
And then I think where it comes down to really is I'm still as God created me.
Mm.
And I also know that lesson repeats itself. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to, that we think we're guilty. We think we've done something bad. We think we separated ourselves from God. We think now, you know, we have to project all of our guilt on everything and everybody just to sort of like escape from the guilt. And this lesson, I'm still as God created me, or, you know, I'm not a body. I'm free. I'm still as God created me to just, you know. Cheat a little bit because that's a longer lesson that has more lessons into it. I'm not a body. I'm free. I'm still as God created me. You know, that really shows like, you know, but we're not these bodies. We're not our past. We're not what we think we are. We're not our future. We're not our ancestors. We're not, you know, our skin color. We're not what we did in the past or wherever. We are spirit. We're still as God created us. We're still innocent. We're still free. And this world only has a temporary function to help us remember that. And once we truly remember that, the world doesn't have any function anymore and we'll just return to the oneness that we truly never left.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And so, you know, I was going to go, oh, you know, lesson 33 or something like that. But no, I did the old, you know, just let the book choose. Just let fate,
yeah,
let the
I
flow
love that.
Choose.
Oracle.
So, lesson 91, miracles are seen in light. Mm. We were just talking about coming out of the darkness and into the light. And as you just said,
beautiful.
Miracles are seen in light. The body's eyes do not perceive the light, but I am not a body. What am I? Which was what you were just saying.
Beautiful.
So no coincidences, hey?
No coincidence ever. Oh, beautiful.
Now, I know you've got some workshops coming up and retreats next year and stuff like that, but what are your immediate plans at the moment? What are you working on?
I'm working on right now on my second album.
Ooh.
Remember Your Dreaming. I'm super, super, super excited about it. This is really a very honest album that really just describes my own honest journey of awakening, of just the pain, the heartache, the craziness, but also the moments of pure bliss, of joy, of remembering who I am. And that's how my journey is always also is right now. You know, there are moments where I'm just in ecstatic bliss and I feel like, oh my God, I love everyone I'm seeing. I just want to hug everyone and tell them, you know, that they're so loved. And then there's moments where I'm disconnected and I'm in fear again and I'm in the guilt state of mind and I have to just, you know, be gentle with myself and remind myself again that it's okay. And you know, that's how it goes. And I wanted to make an honest album for people, like you said, you know, the moments that you do feel alone, there can be, you know, we can, especially with all the social media and everything looking so perfect, I love to bring that authenticity of like, hey, we're truly walking back home together. We're
yes.
doing this together and we're not healed alone. We're walking together. So this album, I think it will come out this year. I'm hoping. And I don't know what's best for me, like I said. But the music is almost done. All the songs are written. The producer, Joby Baker, is amazing. He produced many albums for Deva Premal and Mitten. And he's just really, really, really beautiful. So I just have to see when I can fly over there. He's in Canada.
Okay.
So with all the COVID restrictions and everything, I have to see when that will be. Just a nice planning wise. And other than that, I also just released, it's still unofficial, but it will be official very soon, my voice liberation program, which I've been working on for a few months. And it also just really came inspired. I never thought of creating something like that. But in the midst of all the corona and starting to do more things online, I really got inspired to develop a program where it's like a library and people can just pick a theme. So there's a whole theme index with all kinds of themes, from anxiety to grief to people pleasing, feeling unfairly treated, anger, sadness, jealousy, whatever it is. And you just pick a theme. And then there's a whole list of sessions, voice liberation sessions you can do on that theme, which are already recorded. And there's also a whole foundation sort of like beginning course in that as well, where you just learn how to use your voice for healing, learn how to get in touch with your deeper emotions, learn how to breathe properly to feel your emotions more deeply. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful platform that people can go and experience this power of using their voice for healing and have like sort of like a daily practice. Or I just want people that whenever they're feeling any form of upset, they can just go there and they can pick the theme where whatever, you know, they feel that their upset is connected to, and they can just do a session and really get to the deeper core of you know, what their upset is about and transform it. So I hope that will inspire and support many people on their journey.
I just had the words come through for you, returning to joy.
Yes.
Which is basically what you're doing for people, right?
Oh, beautiful. Returning to joy. Yeah. Yeah.
You can have that one.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
They can go to nedaboin.com. That's N-E-D-A-B-O-I-N. And you can also download a free forgiveness voice liberation session there. I can give you the link. I don't know if you can put it somewhere so that people can download it. So you can experience this voice liberation thing for yourself. It's a free download, and you can have it as an MP3 as well. So you can just, maybe if you like to go to the forest and do it there to just scream your lungs out without your neighbors hearing you. Yeah, so that's available on there.
And you're obviously on social media as well, because that's where I found you.
Yes, all social media. Instagram, I'm most active on, Netta Boyne as well. And my album can be listened to on Spotify, mm-hmm, or any other musical platform. If people want to still, I'm still selling actual CDs. I love that, because I love just to have a real
look
CD.
At
we
that.
Still do that, I know, and they're still being sold, because there are many people like me who still really appreciate that. So if you want the physical CD that has beautiful artwork,
that's
in there,
gorgeous,
and all lyrics, then this can only be ordered from my website.
Right.
So of course you can stream for free and everything on Spotify, but if you want the physical version,
that
go
is
to my
gorgeous
website, nettaboyne.com.
And can I just say, like, I work in digital, and your website is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I'll let my web designer know.
I loved it. I opened it and I went, whoa, that is gorgeous. That is a gorgeous site, can I just say.
beautiful.
Now, I've got the last big question for you, and before you go, you're going to leave us with a bit of a surprise, I do hope. And that question is, what's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Tell me again. What?
What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
What's the change I want to see in the world? Well, it's so funny that now I think that's such a funny question because I know that the world is a reflection of my mind. So so whatever I want to see differently in the world, I know that I have to, you know, change my mind about it. So it's even a beautiful course quote, like, seek not to change the world, seek merely to change your mind about the world.
Yes. I saw that one before about you can see the world differently.
Yeah, you know, projection makes perception. Mm. So whatever is in my mind, and especially whatever is uncomfortable and is in my mind, I'll project out onto the world. And I think that it's just there, you know. But it's the same thing goes with the beauty, you know. When we see beautiful people or we see really inspiring people and we think, that's just them. Like, no, I cannot perceive that inspiration if it's not inside of me as well. Mm. So what I want to see in the world, well, if we take it back to what I want to see in my mind, it's just love, just joy, just the remembrance of innocence. So I know that if I see that in the world, then it must be in my mind as well. So yeah, I hope to see that. And how do we get there? By forgiving everything we see. By using everything without exception to take us back home, to remind us of our innocence, instead of using it to make guilt real, instead of using it to make other people seem bad, instead of blaming them. Let's take it back. Let's see what it's really about and use it to walk out of prison instead of staying in there, because the door is always open.
You have to know, I have asked dozens and dozens and dozens of people that question, and that one probably hit me with the biggest aha I've ever had. So thank you. That was gorgeous.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Now,
thank you for asking that.
You are sitting at your piano, which I'm super excited about, and I'm hoping that you can share with us your title track, The Light Has Come.
I had that one in mind, so we're totally connected.
See, we're on the same page.
Definitely. Okay. Let's see. Let's see, can you hear the piano well?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. has come. You are healed, and you can heal. The light has come.
I swear to God. Oh, you are incredible. That was absolute magic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for receiving.
Oh, now I can't thank you enough for being a part of the Ethical Evolution, Netta.
Oh, thank you. Such a fun conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.
Electric acid. Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season two of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season two starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid. Electric acid.